Mr. Poe gave some money to the taxi driver and waved goodbye to the three children as the cab pulled away from the dock and onto a gray, cobblestone street. There was a small grocery store with barrels of limes and beets out front. There was a clothing store called Look, It Fits, which appeared to be undergoing renovations. There was a terrible-looking restaurant called The Anxious Clown, with neon lights and balloons in the window. But mostly, there were many stores and shops that were all closed up, with boards or metal gratings over the windows and doors. "The town doesn't seem very crowded," Klaus remarked. "I was hoping we might make some new friends here."
"It's the off-season," the cab driver said.
He was a skinny man, with a skinny cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and as he talked to the children, he looked at them through the rearview mirror.
"The town of Lake Lacrimose is a resort, and when the nice weather comes, it's as crowded as can be. But around now, things here are as dead as the cat I ran over this morning. To make new friends, you'll have to wait until the weather gets a little better. Speaking of which, Hurricane Herman is expected to arrive in town in a week or so. You better make sure you have enough food up there in the house."
"A hurricane on a lake?" Klaus asked. "I thought hurricanes only occurred near the ocean."
"A body of water as big as Lake Lacrimose," the driver said, "can have anything occur on it. To tell you the truth, I'd be a little nervous about living on top of this hill. Once the storm hits, it'll be very difficult to drive all the way down into town."
Violet, Klaus, and Sunny looked out the window and saw what the driver meant by "all the way down." The taxi had turned one last corner and arrived at the scraggly top of a tall, tall hill, and the children could see the town far, far below them, the cobblestone road curling around the buildings like a tiny gray snake, and the small square of Damocles Dock with specks of people bustling around it. And out beyond the dock was the inky blob of Lake Lacrimose, huge and dark as if a monster were standing over the three orphans, casting a giant shadow below them. For a few moments, the children stared into the lake as if hypnotized by this enormous stain on the landscape.
"The lake is so enormous," Klaus said, "and it looks so deep. I can almost understand why Aunt Josephine is afraid of it."
"The lady who lives up here," the cab driver asked, "is afraid of the lake?"
"That's what we've been told," Violet said.
The cab driver shook his head and brought the cab to a halt.
"I don't know how she can stand it, then."
"What do you mean?" Violet asked.
"You've never been to this house?" he asked.
"No, never," Klaus replied. "We've never even met our Aunt Josephine before."
"Well, if your Aunt Josephine is afraid of the water," the cab driver said, "I can't believe she lives here in this house."
"What are you talking about?" Klaus asked.
"Well, take a look," the driver answered, and got out of the cab.
The Baudelaires took a look. At first, the three youngsters saw only a small boxy square with a peeling white door, and it looked as if the house was scarcely larger than the taxi which had taken them to it. But as they piled out of the car and drew closer, they saw that this small square was the only part of the house that was on top of the hill. The rest of it, a huge pile of boxy squares all stuck together like ice cubes, hung over the side, attached to the hill by long metal stilts that looked like spider legs. As the three orphans peered down at their new home, it seemed as if the entire house were holding onto the hill for dear life. The taxi driver took their suitcases out of the trunk, set them in front of the peeling white door, and drove down the hill with a toot of his horn for a goodbye. There was a soft squeak as the peeling white door opened, and from behind the door appeared a pale woman, with her white hair piled high on top of her head in a bun.
"Hello," she said, smiling thinly. "I'm your Aunt Josephine."
"Hello," Violet said, cautiously, and stepped forward to meet her new guardian. Klaus stepped forward behind her, and Sunny crawled forward behind him, but all three Baudelaires were walking carefully, as if their weight would send the house toppling down from its perch. The orphans couldn't help wondering how a woman who was so afraid of Lake Lacrimose could live in a house that felt like it was about to fall into its depths.